You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Our show today. I'm glad you're here, and I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm so glad our guest is here. Oh, what a phenomenal lady we have with us today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so happy to welcome you here today. And I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi there. My name is Rachel Shapiro Micah, and I am one of the founding members of the Caring Connections Co-op.
Please share with us, what is Caring Connections?
So Caring Connections Co-op is currently a group that's on Facebook. It is filled with families who are shielding still for COVID protection purposes. So most of our families are medically complicated or have extended family members who have medical needs that require us to still be taking extra cautious and preventative measures to stay safe from the virus. When I started Caring Connections, I couldn't afford any out-school classes or virtual classes for my son, who originally was supposed to start kindergarten, like right at the beginning of the pandemic. And we were so lonely. So I started doing a class once a week, and I thought maybe other people, you know, who were in similar situations would want to join us. And it just has grown so exponentially. It started out with one class once a week. And at this point, we are regularly offering one another like up to 15 or 16 free classes a week with parents who are actually interacting and teaching the students. None of us are alone anymore. We get to have like all sorts of fun events and community that we otherwise would be lacking by being isolated at home.
A beyond beautiful explanation. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
I'm just excited about this conversation because there's so much hope in it. And that's the first thing I think of when I think of Caring Connections. There's a lot of hope for our families and hope for our children. Why is that?
I think one of the hardest things that we all are dealing with this pandemic is that we've got this sort of darkness as a society where media and our hopes are sort of colliding in this way that's like, oh, COVID's not so bad. Everything's okay. We can get back to normal. And for people who are medically complicated, we can't join in that sort of hopeful delusion of things just being plain. And so instead of being at home by ourselves and sad, we're finding a way together to provide ourselves and our children the love and the community and the togetherness that comes from learning things at the same time or playing games together. And Caring Connections makes me so hopeful because at first I thought we were done, you know, like when you exclude people from society, they start to feel hopeless. Yep. But now everybody in our group, and it's not like we've got one or two families, like at this point we've got over 100 families.
That's right.
That know they're not alone and that their kids are not alone and that we can grow together and we can come up with solutions that work for all of us.
Mm. Yes. Oh, this is wonderful. And it fills me with joy, which is my next word for Caring Connections Co-op. What is joyful about this?
Everything, every single thing, every class that we do, you'll yes. see kids with ginormous smiles.
Yes.
And they're so excited not only to see friends regularly, like the same kids they get to see, you know, every week or every other day, depending on, you know, which classes they're taking, but also they get creative together. They do Zoom whiteboards, we make art together, and it's just so evident in every class that their joy is increasing, and it definitely, definitely increases mine. So that's what I think of when I think joy in our group.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I love that. And so that brings me to my next word, and I feel like it is the foundation of this amazing, amazing co-op, and that's love. Talk to us about
no question
that,
about it. There's so much love in our group. Like, the group itself was born out of my love for my son. Because he deserves friends. He deserves school. He deserves to have that feeling of belonging, you know? Mm-hmm. And when we first started, it trickled in, you know? We had like one or two families at first, and I thought, this isn't going to go anywhere. Maybe I should quit. But then they started mentioning it to their friends, like, hey, there's this really great Monday morning fitness class that we're doing together. Why don't we come and have fun together? And it grew from there. And now I feel like we have more family, to be very honest with you. Like, we haven't been able to physically see our own actual blood relatives. I love that the internet has brought together. And you and me, too. Like, doing preschool art has been amazing.
Yes, it has. It is. And the love is really the central thing. Because I feel it from the other families, the children towards one another. They're so kind to one another.
Absolutely.
And accepting, right? I feel as if there's a lot of acceptance, a lot of grace that
Definitely.
Everyone is showing everyone else because we're all doing the best we can with what we have to do with, right?
So
So how, you know, this is so exciting for me to have this conversation with you because your heart is so wonderful and you really are a treasure and you're such a blessing to our community and to
our
children, wonderful loved ones. And so this is really an honor for me. And I'd love to hear your dream for this co-op. What do you hope for from this co-op?
So in my absolute wildest, most craziest dreams for this co-op, it would keep growing. Like, right now, I'm trying to make a website for it so that we're not dependent only on Facebook, you know, and we can all still be together in case something happens to any of these different social media platforms that are out there. But in my wildest dreams, we would have no lonely COVID-safe kids because that's like the second pandemic that nobody's talking about. You know,
right. True.
Mm-hmm. Loneliness takes a toll. And I want these kids to know that they are valued and that they are brave and for them to keep going, to see where it goes, see if we can, I don't know, like get some kids who feel like teaching younger kids, even grow the community in that way.
Yes. Have a caring connections homecoming and prom. You know?
Oh, that would be so cool. Like, if there were actually a way, like, I hope that the kids are not isolated in centers. That would be
right.
That would be a lot. That'd be very heavy. But if we were able to have like a summer camp or a conclave or something safely, where these kids could actually be together in person at some point, that would be so amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love also what it has done, what it is doing for the parents as well. I mean, I see the excitement of the parents. You know, before everyone was in their own little orbit trying to homeschool and trying to keep our children alive. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible choice. It's a cruel choice. I mean, for some of us, we have children that were born into this pandemic. This has been their whole life. And, you know,
my daughter actually was born in April of 2020, and we were so afraid at that time because we had no knowledge about the virus. We didn't have home testing or anything.
Right.
That we brought her home, and she didn't ever meet her family until she was almost a year old. It was just the four of us at home.
Mm-hmm. And see, that kind of thing, exactly, that resonates so much. And I see the hope. The parents talk to each other. The parents are excited to have some COVID-safe friends and conversations with other adults as well.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. And so what is your hope for the parent community or the grandparent community or the caregiver community as well?
You know, honestly, the same as the kids, because, you know, I mean, we make jokes online, me and some of the parents, about getting together for tea or getting together for a beer or something sometime. And it would be super for that to actually be able to happen safely. I'm really holding out hope for that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been thinking about, you know, talking with the parents about whether or not they want to run any events at night or maybe on the weekends when the kids are out or asleep, mm-hmm. so that the parents get that sort of community as well, because we need to have fun too.
Yeah. Well, what someone might be listening to this, and see, we're familiar with homeschool co-ops. We're familiar with homeschooling. And so this is not, for us, this is just virtual, but this happens in a lot of homeschool co-ops as well. But for someone who's listening and thinking, what are they doing online? Well, what are we doing online?
You know what? That is a very good question and an easy thing to talk about. So the way that we have things set up is there's this Facebook group, right? And I'll invite people who we know for sure are taking mitigations so that the kids in our group feel safe. And what we do there is parents offer different events. Some of these events are one-time events, like a pop-up just to play Play-Doh and eat lunch together. And some of these events have turned into weekly classes. So, like, for example, the first class we started out with is called Monday Morning Circle Time. And when I started it, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to make every Monday morning, because I have common variable immune deficiency, multiple sclerosis, and seizure disorder. So I was out of work for more than a decade before even trying to do this.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought, okay, I'm going to try to show up at 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday for a half an hour every Monday and just play some fitness videos and see if it'll be a good time, see if we can even do it. And now I'm teaching every morning at 10 a.m. on the weekdays.
Oh.
And other parents are offering things like RPG adventures. One of our parents is doing a Spanish club. My friend Jen, she's amazing. She does Moving on Mondays, Comic Club on Wednesdays, and then Chat and Move on Fridays. Those are all social clubs for her where the kids get to choose music or mm-hmm. talk about comics together. And so for our virtual co-op, really, it's currently we've got 16 classes this week, and there's, I want to say, 7 different topics, I think, covered by those 16 classes.
Wow.
We've got science, we've got movement, we've got music and art. Oh, my brain just went blank. I know we've got a little bit more than that. We've got comics
mm-hmm.
And Minecraft Club. So our virtual co-op really is an opportunity for kids and parents to get on Zoom calls that are regularly scheduled and to mm-hmm. enjoy activities together and learning.
That's beautiful. And we've had virtual field trips. We've had mm-hmm. those kinds of things as well, you know. And
You're a star at finding those virtual field trips.
Well,
that's been great.
Oh, and I think that's wonderful, because really, at the heart of it all, we want the kids to have the friendship and the companionship and the socialization most of all. And so when I see what they're doing, like they're meeting and they're laughing and they're spending time together, and then they're seeking each other out for Zoom conversations and play dates and pen pals and interchanges beyond the classes.
Yes, and that's been one of my favorite things to see, because I never anticipated that we would get to the point where my son would shout at me after we were done with, you know, his homework, okay, I'm going to call my friends.
Right.
But that's 100% where we are, and it's great.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? I love it, because of all the things we love most, I mean, our children are our hearts, and we have a terrible choice, you know, keep them healthy and safe and alive, or allow them to go out into the world and just, you know, act as if it's 2019 again.
Yeah, and you know what? That is exactly why the password on most of my things at the beginning was safe and happy, all one word.
Mm,
because
beautiful.
Those are the two things that matter to me. I want to keep my kids safe,
yeah.
and I want to make sure they're healthy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have another question for you, too, because I love the fact that it has so much talent and so much generosity of spirit. I mean, I see so many people just stepping up to try to help with whatever they have, just whatever it is. You know, it's beautiful. But what are some of the things that you feel Caring Connections needs right now?
Oh, man. So I lucked out with the fact that Google decided to make forms a free thing so that we could go ahead and ask people survey questions and get the information back. And what I'm seeing that Caring Connections needs most right now is we need more of the parents who have toddlers to be able to offer some social time to the kids between the ages of 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need the same thing for teenagers, because my son is only 8 right now. He's going to be 9 soon. And so I didn't schedule anything or even conceive of anything for the teenage group. But when we started adding friends, we started having friends who were younger, of course, and older. And within the COVID conscious community, there are several different groups where there's like, oh, here's events and things for kids who are in elementary school. Mm. But once you hit 13, all of those options kind of poof.
Yeah.
And so I'm not seeing community for our COVID conscious teens. So if I could magic wand a situation, then maybe one or more of the parents in our group who has teenagers would magically be able to have time to offer the teenagers the same kind of community and fun sort of things that we're doing for the younger kids right now. My hope is that all of our kids get the community and the love that they deserve.
Mm. You have such a beautiful soul, such compassion.
Thank you.
You know, and I'm so thankful for this. I hope people are thanking you and telling you how much they appreciate this work that you're doing. But I want to say thank you publicly. Thank you for caring. Thank you for not just caring. You know, like a lot of, you know, people could care and then they go back to whatever they were doing before, but actually being willing to make change and take action and lead. Thank you for that.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you for thanking me. I'm bright red over here. Like nobody has said anything like that to me before about this. So I really appreciate that so much, Dawn. It was very touching.
Well, I absolutely thank you. I'm grateful to you and I'm grateful for you. And I'm thinking about the impact that your wonderful leadership is having on lives all over, just all kind. I mean, not just, you know, right there, but all over. What have you seen change in the lives of children that you can see a change?
Oh, man. There are a couple of kids in our group who, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, before they found our group, they were totally isolated. So for some of these kids that are now regular members of our group, they went from not having any community at all and only being at home with family to now knowing what friendship means and getting to have that experience. I couldn't conceive of a kid not knowing what friends really were. I'd heard somebody talk about it, but I thought that was crazy. And then one of the classes that I run is just a social pod. It's nothing more than homeschool, homeroom, basically. And we play games. And the other day in one of my classes, a girl, I'm going to call her E for right now, she let me know after class, she said, you know, I had never had friends before, and now I love everybody in this group. I have a bunch of besties, and I love you. And I totally broke down crying that night because I felt so touched by her words. And so it's been lovely to see these kids blossom and grow and be happy. Everything they deserve.
Yes, everything they deserve. I'm wiping my eyes right now because, you know, that's all we want for our children, to be happy and safe and filled with joy and healthy and well. And so to see them blossom and grow and have these friendships and people who care about them, that's marvelous. That's beyond marvelous. As we go to commercial, I would love it if you would tell me how folks can sign up for your classes that you teach, the social pod, the art classes. How can folks take classes with you?
Okay, so that's a little bit more complicated of a question. Right now, the easiest way is to have a Facebook account, and then either You would need to be a member of one of the still COVIDing communities on there already, or talk with me one-on-one about, you know, what you've been doing for mitigations, because we want to make sure to keep this a safe space.
Yes.
And then the group is hidden, so I would send a link to whoever contacts me. I am on Facebook as Ray Renee, so R-A-E-R-E-N-E-E is what you would put after the Facebook.com thing, I think, in order to find my profile. But my official name on Facebook is Ray Micah, so R-A-E space M-A-J-K-A. That's me on Facebook. And I know individually everybody in the group, because I want to make sure that our kids who are getting treatment at St. Jude never have to worry about anybody talking about their Disney vacation.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a very important thing. Safety is absolutely important when it comes to our young people. So I'm so thankful that everyone is vetted, that it is a safe space, hidden group. All of this is very important. And, you know, if this is not for you, move on. And then this is a safe space for you to be. And I think that is incredibly important. Trust is a very important part of this co-op. And I really thank you for having it there.
Thank you for caring about the mitigation. They mean a lot to our family, too.
Aw. We'll come right back and we'll have more of this really amazing conversation in just a moment.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had an oil shortage! Well, yeah, guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhea.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Wow, what an honor to speak with our guest today and to be part of this gracious and grace-filled conversation. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I am Rachel Shapiro-Micah. I am the founder of Caring Connections Co-op on Facebook. We are a free, virtual, secular, inclusive co-op for families who are homeschooling for COVID safety.
Oh, marvelous. I love hearing you say that. It's just such a great dream come true, because at the start of the pandemic, we had nothing like this. And now we have exactly what we need, thanks to your leadership and all of the families who are involved. Well, I have been
waiting. I think that might be the first time that I actually said that whole thing out loud.
Really? Oh, that's marvelous. Yeah. I love it.
Free secular co-op. Like, I've typed it all out before. I've never actually said it. So that's fun. Thank you for that opportunity.
Of course, because when I heard it, I actually, I teared up, because it's exactly a dream come true, you know, where we're all isolated. We're talking to one another, but we're thinking, oh, if only we had this. And now we do.
Yes.
Oh, we do. And that is so amazing. So homeschooling, let's talk about that, because now a lot of people have had exposure to some kind of homeschooling at some point during the pandemic. They have had to do some online schooling or homeschooling or something like that. But for many of us, that's a way of life. And so what does homeschooling mean to you and your family?
Oh, man. So homeschooling is such a crazy thing for my family, because I come from, and this is no shade to my parents, this is no shade to my grandparents, I come from an exceptionally intellectually snobby family.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with pride, because we're full of doctors and lawyers and artists and people who have really cared about their education. And so for my family, homeschooling looks super duper eclectic. I originally was hopeful that my son was going to be able to go to traditional school, but because he wasn't, it gave us an opportunity to explore what virtual classes look like, to see what unschooling looked like, and to look at the different curriculums that are out there. And we are so blessed to live in Illinois, which is one of the states out there where the people in charge of homeschooling don't necessarily sort of stand over you and make sure that you're doing things exactly a certain way.
Sure.
And because of that, it gave us so much opportunity to explore how my child learns best. So for me, when I think about homeschooling, I think that it's all about finding the ways that your learner takes in new information as well as possible. And with the co-op, what we've been able to do is sort of integrate classes, which you would have, you know, for a traditional education or virtual school, if that's something you're more used to integrate those sort of things in with our external unschooling, where we go based on our kids' interests and learn about whatever it is based on what it is that they're currently obsessed with, you know?
Yes.
And it's been great, because we've been able to cover topics that they definitely would not have covered in public school in a little bit more depth, you know? Like, I know that when I was in public school that I learned coding, but I didn't get the chance to actually code a video game. That was something that you would go do on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been lucky enough with the co-op and our virtual things where we have friends who are teaching coding classes. And so we've got kids who are creating video games for each other and playing video games together in that way too. And it's just a very different way and of having a freedom to learn the way that works best for your kids. And so being able to stay safe and creative, it's been very cool.
I love your answer, and I loved hearing the passion and the excitement, you know, that you shared it with, because that's one of the things I find so beautiful about the families in the co-op, is that all of us are just completely invested in our children's learning, but we want them
definitely
to love learning. We want them to like learning. We don't want them to go to school and be like, oh, this is tedium and drudgery. You know, we want them to like it there. And it's, you know, as an Indigenous family, we have a complicated relationship with education anyway. And so I had always thought I would homeschool, you know, just all my life. I thought, you know, I will just, when I'm taking this class at Harvard just so that I can use it later when I homeschool my children. And for us, we have had to look at homeschooling as a way of transmitting our culture as well.
you know, rather than have it completely erased by public school or even well-meaning private ones. This is a way that, yes, we can teach you the fundamentals, but we can also teach you who you are in a tribal identity. And so that's what I love about this co-op, is that everyone and all kinds of views, and as long as they are good and right, is welcome.
Yes, no, absolutely. One of my favorite things about you having joined our group is that you have such a clear, strong voice for Indigenous people and for educating one another on the different cultures that are around us that are erased by our mainstream culture. And so I feel like you are bringing so much value and such an important perspective to our group, where all of the kids who may have otherwise missed these opportunities to learn about Indigenous peoples and to learn about the different ways that folks live, as opposed to only under strict capitalism and the sort of oligarchy situation we've got happening in America at the moment, it's opening their eyes and showing them there are different ways to do things and fun different ways to live and create. It's brilliant. And I think that it's such an excellent opportunity for them that they wouldn't otherwise have gotten. So thank you for bringing that to us as well.
Oh, well, thank you. We're learning about all of you too. And it's a wonderful, diverse, welcoming environment. I feel for everyone in it. I really do feel that way. And I see it. I see that every child feels comfortable with every other child, and they're talking to one another and encouraging one another. And that brings me to social emotional learning, because that's something I have seen in this co-op. I have seen children comfort one another, children encourage one another, children supporting one another. And that, to me, is priceless. I mean, I can teach you the ABCs, but if you're also a good human being, you're all set.
Absolutely. Now, that it's my favorite thing in the group, to be very honest with you. It does not matter what class I am teaching. It's across the board. These kids understand that we all need encouragement.
Yeah.
And one of the classes that I teach, two of the classes really are show and tell, and then an art class. One's for preschool, one's for elementary. It doesn't matter which class you're in. When I ask folks, "Do you have a question for the artist?" Every time, even if they don't have a question, I have students who raise their hand just so that they can say, "Your art is fantastic. This is amazing. Thank you for sharing it." And it warms my heart every time.
Yes. And I love the acceptance that I see of all different kinds of levels of talent and ability and interest and all of that. I see the children meeting each other where they are. Instead of saying, you know, this art does not look like it belongs in El Prado or something like that. It's not, you know, they're saying, "I like your colors. I like what you did there. I can see you tried really hard." I mean, I just think that is beautiful.
And it's so cool to see them picking up the social emotional vocabulary.
Right. Yes. Yes. And using it with one another.
Yes.
But also with us. The other day, one of the moms, something happened, and it was kind of challenging. And one of the children said, "That's okay. You're still cool."
That's awesome. That's exactly how it should be.
That's exactly how it should be. And these are things that, yes, okay, I'm sure many schools are teaching them, and that's wonderful. But for us as parents, they're things that really reward us for making the decision to educate our children this way, is that we see them blossoming into truly loving and lovely human beings, I think.
Oh, definitely. There's actually an activity that Henry and I are involved in right now called Drawtober.
Oh, and okay.
Some people call it Inktober. Mm-hmm. The idea is that every day in October, you've got to make a drawing. And for the way that we're doing things, we've got like 31 different prompts to go through. And so every day we look at the prompt and we try to make a drawing. Well, yesterday we had the prompt of leaves, right?
Mm.
And I was having just the hardest time making the tree look the way that I wanted to. I was really frustrated. I was angry. It was the very end of the day. I want to say it was like 9:30 at night. Henry should have been in bed a half hour ago, but we were still up. And I was like, you know what? I can't draw today. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't. And Henry looked at me and he goes, Mom, don't let your frustration lie to you. Just try. And I was like, oh my God, I spoke that to him so many times before. It just came out back at me. This is the coolest thing.
This, I mean, that is like, that's what we live for.
Yes. So, of course, I made some silly leaves as a comic, and we got through our Drawtober together. It was great.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, because those are the moments that make it all worthwhile. You know, everything that we're doing, everything we're trying to do, and we see that our children are becoming these wonderful human beings. They come here as wonderful human beings and are wonderful human beings and keep being wonderful human beings. That is our reward. And I love that so much. When you think of this beautiful co-op, Caring Connections, and all of the things that we're doing and trying to do, and, you know, as the numbers grow, as the mm-hmm. numbers grow, how can we build community, greater community for our children within the co-op itself?
That is a really great question. And I think, I don't know, I've never had to scale anything like this before.
Right.
But what I recognize is that when we started really blossoming, when things really started taking off, what had happened was there was consistency in my classes where I wasn't rescheduling and I wasn't changing the links, and parents got comfortable in our group going ahead and offering their own things. So I think if the co-op continues to grow, which hopefully it will, that one or two or three parents might be able to come to me and be like, hey, I feel like I want to help in the way of coordinating the stuff for the toddlers. Or I want to coordinate classes for 12 and up. How did you get kids for the younger thing? Let's talk about promotion and how to grow it in this way. I think I need help to make it bigger because I can't teach all the classes. And
right.
And what really worked for us, you know, to get us to where we are today is there are, I want to say, 5 moms in our group that really work together.
Mm-hmm.
Like Monday, I teach, Susie teaches, and Jen teaches. We're the 3 primary teachers in the group right now, where each of us are teaching a class at least every other day, if not every day. If even 2 more parents decided that they wanted to teach a class once a week, that's a huge difference to our kids. Every time we offer them something more, then we all receive more too. So.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. And what are some of the kinds of offerings you would like to see? I know we talked about age groups and things like that, but are there particular topics or things like that that you would like to see offered?
So I have focused on what is traditionally considered extracurricular.
Okay.
So like the music, art, PE, drama, the arts, the first thing that gets cut financially, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
those to me, passionately, I believe, are where our humanity lies. So for me, that's super important. If I had my druthers, if I was blessed with the world giving me exactly what I want, we would have a homeroom or social emotional place for the teenagers, and we would be able to bring in parents who have expertise in academic areas. So someone who has, you know, real academic knowledge about how to teach any foreign language or language arts or math. Really what we've been doing in my family for math has been primarily using edutainment software to sort of guide us through their curriculum. But if there were a parent that had that skill set who wanted to offer that to the kids, that would be truly excellent, because we're basically recreating school in the most entertaining way we can right now.
Mm-hmm. I feel, too, that the socialization and the friendships and all of that, those are the things we can't necessarily recreate at our house. We can get a curriculum, we can get edutainment, we can do a lot of things, but those relationships we can't necessarily create, and then sustain. And I see the co-op doing those kinds of things so beautifully, and I feel like it's a great strength and a wonderful, wonderful asset. And I love what you said about humanity, because I have to say, full disclosure, I have an MFA, so I will just say this. I do believe the arts and music and all of those things make us human beings. And in our traditional indigenous belief, when you don't feel well, when you feel out of sorts, when you feel, you know, I just don't know what's wrong, what something is, our medicine man will tell you to go sing. He will tell you to dance. He will tell you to stop what you're doing and go make some art, go bead something, go create something, and then come back and let's see. And he'll also tell you to drink a lot of water, but that's okay too.
You're right, though. The arts are medicinal. Our mental health. We, as humans, we've got to make noise. We've got to make motion.
Mm-hmm.
Part of who we are.
Yes, and so when we see them cut out of traditional schooling environments, then we wonder why children are frustrated, why they're doing things, hurting people, why they're screaming to be heard, because they have no other outlet for their emotions that art, music, drama, dance would provide. So thank you so much for...
Yeah, no, honestly, I think that the most important thing that I do in my classes, or that we do in any of our classes, is to give kids the opportunity to feel seen and heard.
Yes.
Because
yes,
loneliness comes from that lack of connection, and just having that caring connection makes the difference.
It absolutely is. And I've been thinking about this a lot, because I come from a culture that doesn't have a word for I, because the assumption is always that it's you and your tribe. It's you and your family. It's you and your clan. It's you and your nation. It's you and your ancestors and your descendants, that you're always, always in community. Okay. And so when I see people without community, I know that's not going to go well. You know, things are not going to go well, because community is a vital need, like air and water and standing on the earth.
Yeah.
And so when I see people with community, then they can be brilliant. Then they can use their gifts and talents. When we give people, our children especially, community, it's just like giving soil to a seed. It's some place to be.
That's a good metaphor.
And then they can grow. And then they can develop. You know, and so the first thing I see when a child is struggling with learning or something, put them in community and let's see what they do with it. And I'm seeing that in the co-op. I'm seeing children taking talent that they have and being bold enough to use it because they know they're in a community that will encourage them. And I think that is so brilliant and so beautiful. Will you tell us again how someone can get involved in this community, about the security that you use to make sure we only have right, good people in the community?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, I am a member of several of the groups on Facebook that have the name Still COVIDing in them. With our group, it is hidden, so nobody can find it unless I give them the hidden link or I add them manually. So what you would want to do if you want to join us at the Caring Connections Co-op is you're going to need to contact me on Facebook or through the Still COVIDing Homeschooling Families group or the Parents group. I'm in Still COVIDing Parents Edition, I think. Let me see really fast if I can find a URL for you. But the easiest way to find me, just look up Ray Mica, R-A-E. MAJKA on Facebook, or if you go to facebook.com/RayRenee, so RAERENEE, that's me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you can send me a message, tell me all about what you do for your COVID protections, and I will hook you up with the group.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's wonderful. I would love to talk to you, too, about your personal protection and mitigations from COVID. You know,
sure.
We see people that are just out there doing whatever they do, and they're sick every time you see them. Their Instagram posts are always about some flu they have or cold they have, but it's COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think we draw strength, I know that I do, from other people who are still COVIDing. You know,
definitely.
It's wonderful. When I see someone else in a mask, I'm like, yay! You know? And so help help us a little bit, encourage us a little bit by sharing some of your personal attitude toward COVID mitigation.
Absolutely. I am thrilled to be able to do that. So before I tell you about what I do, what my family does, I want to preface it by making sure that everyone knows that I have common variable immune deficiency and multiple sclerosis and a seizure disorder. So my choice to try to remain COVID-free is 100% around the idea that my immunologist told me that my likelihood of death if I were to catch COVID is greater than 50%. So every time I think about it, I'm like, not ready to die.
Yeah, not today.
Yeah, it's a little bit different than most people's like 2% chance. So I've made sure to be inoculated and to get every booster when it's available, even though my body does not make the immunoglobulin Gs the way that they're supposed to. Unfortunately for me and all of society, COVID has mutated past the pharmaceutical product EvuShield. EvuShield, for those who are not in the know, that was a monoclonal antibody that was given as a prophylactic to folks like me who do not produce an adequate immune response using vaccines. And I know AstraZeneca is currently working on something called Supernova.
Yes, they
which
are.
Is supposed to replace EvuShield, which would then make it possible for me and my family to sort of rejoin society in a much safer way.
Yeah.
But until that time, the way that we are handling things are by staying home, unless there's someplace we have to go for like a medical appointment or whatever. And when we do go out for medical appointments or necessary shopping or whatever, every member of my family, including my three-year-old, we all have flow masks, which are elastomeric respirators that make sure that 99% of the air that we breathe is filtered, which keeps us much safer.
Sure.
And then as far as opportunities for spending face-to-face time with relatives and sharing meals and stuff like that, we have been very dependent on NAAT tests. So we were using Lucira. When they were on the market, we would go ahead and they're very expensive, but we were able to pool our results. We would get these sterile swabs, and everybody would go ahead and swab their nose and throat away from one another so that it was safe, you know, because obviously you can't have your mask on when you're swabbing. And then we would go ahead and put the swabs in the reagents and have our masks back on. And once the reagent comes back and the test says negative, then we all know it's safe to unmask, and then we can enjoy meals together, like for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever's going on with our family that week. But I've been so glad that the NAAT tests have existed, because at the beginning of the pandemic they didn't, and it was just so isolating.
Right.
And now we can use the metrics tests by Aptitude. We have friends who use Q instead. I haven't gotten the chance to try the Q reader yet, but I've heard excellent things about that. And so, you know, it's a little extra work for us to make sure that things are safe before we unmask. But I want to make sure that people know that, you know, your immunocompromised friends who are, you know, staying at home and isolating themselves for safety can still have a tea with you. If you go over and you have a good test, you know, they just make sure that you mask the day or two beforehand so that there's no accidental thing where your body is building up the COVID before it shows a positive test. So,
and how did you?
You don't have to be lonely.
That's right. And see, I think this is so important. How did you teach your very small children to mask? Because I hear a lot about that. I hear parents say, I would hate to have them wear a mask. Oh, they're so young and all. And yet your children are beautiful and well-adjusted, and so are many of our children in the co-op, and they can wear a mask. So how did you teach your children to wear a mask?
For us, it was all about normalizing the experience. It was about making sure that it's just like wearing pants.
You know, when you start off with a toddler, right, and they're going through potty training and they're used to just walking around in a diaper, and you're like, okay, you can't just walk around in your underpants when you go out. That's not okay. You got to put pants on when you're leaving the house, right?
Uh-huh.
Kids learn that, and they do that, and we don't think twice about pants, right?
Right.
It's exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. My three-year-old, she will remind me to put on my mask before my mask is on if we're going out. She'll be like,
yes.
Hey, Mommy, put on mask, put on shoes, put on coat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that normalized. It's just that basic. So when Gabrielle was first learning how to put a mask on and how to do that, we made sure to get her some cheapy, like, surgical mask type things that we wouldn't actually use, so that she could go ahead and put masks on her dolls.
Right.
Because she wanted to make sure that Rainbow Kitty Corn didn't get sick either. And so when she was playing her imaginary games, she normalized it that way. And then when we go out, she just goes ahead and puts on her flow mask so she can be around people.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I hear that a lot from other parents. And, oh, my goodness, don't you feel bad making them wear a mask and all? And I'm thinking, not as bad as I'd feel having to go to the hospital. I meant that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How would you feel if you were the parent whose kid got long COVID and needed to go into, like respite care at the age of 15. I know someone whose kid is currently on a respirator in the hospital right now at 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's worried about her missing her prom.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm like, we are not the same. I am so sorry. I hope your daughter gets better.
Yes, and see, that's why these kinds of conversations, I believe, are really precious. And I think they're sacred. Because what we are saying to people is, we love you. We love you, and we want you to live a long, healthy life, and we want to share with you some things that may help you do that or have a better chance of doing that. You know,
and we are at such a disadvantage, too,
yes,
because if you look at what is happening across the world right now, we've got one message coming to us from media saying, oh, it's just like a cold now, which is not what the science is showing at all.
At all.
And like in England, they've got policies now where they're under five can't even get vaccinated.
That's right. But they won't even get them.
So I don't know about how things have been for you, but on my side of things, with a family who have doctors in them, I've had people telling me that I'm just scared of a cold.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, not really.
Not even. Right. We have a different perspective, I think, as Indigenous people, because we've handled it. I mean, Indigenous people have the highest vaccination rate. We've had mask mandates and vaccine mandates on our reservations until very recently. And I think it's because deep down inside, we know what a pandemic means.
Yeah.
We understand that there's so few of us left because of pandemics and genocide. And our fluent speakers, many of our elders passed away in the first wave when we were all helpless. You know, we didn't even know what to do. We're washing our hands and wandering around. And I think for us, we see this as 1492 all over again.
Oh, man.
That's dark
and accurate.
Yeah, this will end us if we don't take the proper precautions. If we don't live wisely, there won't be any of us left.
And I think that's one of the things that's been the most confusing to me, right? Like,
right.
I'm not an evolutionary biologist by any stretch of the imagination. My degree is in music. But I know well enough to listen to professors of evolutionary biology when they say to you, hey, if you don't stop passing this around, it's going to keep mutating until there's none of us left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They wouldn't say something like that just to say it. It's not fun.
Right. That's right. And I wonder, though, if at the bottom of it all, it has to be about love.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to sacrifice your trip to the mall or your, you know, eating out at a dining establishment, or you have to be able to put a mask on and to be able to think about someone other than yourself.
And that's so diametrically opposite to what our society likes to teach us. Our society likes to tell us to be hyper-individualistic,
right,
and to only take care of ourselves, and you do you, and pull up by your bootstraps. Doesn't work for public health.
No, it can't. That's why it's called public health.
That's right.
You know, and I think you're so wise and so brave, and I really appreciate you talking about these things because, you know, we have to. Someone has to tell the truth. Someone has to love other people enough. True love is willing to be disliked, and so I would rather tell you. You know, if I see someone driving off a bridge, you know, I'm not going to say, great driving, car looks really good, you know, and you're driving off a bridge, you're driving off a cliff. And I think we have to have these kinds of conversations because we never know who's listening and we never know who just needs a little bit of encouragement to take some precautions and to live life in a safer way.
You are absolutely right. I was actually at the doctor a couple of months ago. For my scheduled mammogram, and there was another woman in the room, and she didn't have a mask on. I was wearing my flow mask, and I've got my mask a little bit tricked out, because if you've got to have an accessory, why not make it shine? But you know, the pandemic's over, right? Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, no, it's not over, and I'm protecting myself. And I told her the same things that I've told you, and she pulled a mask right out of her purse, and she goes,
wow.
I feel more comfortable if I put this on while we're in the waiting room together. And I thanked her for that profusely. I said, yes, and it would make me more comfortable if you would wear it out of here all the way to your car so that you stay safe, too. And I think I might have gotten through to her on that.
That's right. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that our children have a safe and healthy community that is going to support them in taking precautions and medications, right? They, you know, I've heard stories of children being the only one at school with a mask, you know, the only one trying to do this, and yet we have children that can do it. So please just, oh my goodness, thank you sounds so hollow, but thank you from the bottom of my heart.
The strength of these kids, it's great.
It is, and you're just doing a wonderful thing by helping them to have community for their learning, but also community for staying safe and healthy. When you think about all of the people and all of the lives you are touching, I'm going to give you a chance to speak directly to the parents and the families and the children that are part of this co-op and will be part of this co-op. I'm going to hand you the mic and let you speak from your heart as we close.
All right. I want to start just by saying thank you to everyone who has been a part of our community. And I want to tell everyone who is taking the time to be safe and to have mitigations, I want to remind you of something so important, and that is every day, every time that you choose to protect yourself and others, there is a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And the effect that you are making by choosing not to allow yourself to be a vector for other people's infections, it makes such a huge difference. One person infects one other person, and that person infects however many other people. That's how the virus grows. So for every one of us who is choosing to protect ourselves, we are also protecting potentially thousands of people because we have no idea who the people we're going to be in air contact with are also going to be sharing their air with. So not only are you making a valid, wise, and important choice for your own protection and showing your children love and protection through that, but you are showing your community and the world love by protecting yourself because that means that you are also protecting the reach of the virus from getting to some of those other people. And we all need that level of protection from one another. So I want to thank everyone who's a part of our COVID conscious community from the bottom of my heart, seriously. Thank you for doing your part. Keep humanity vital. It's so important. And your light, each one of you, is precious. And I want to thank you for protecting that preciousness for us, too, because you matter.
Emma. Oh, thank you for this gorgeous and sacred conversation. Thank you for joining us today. We loved everything you shared with us. Loved it. And we love you, and we love Caring Connections, and we are very, very thankful. Thankful.
Vaughn, I'm so thankful for you, too. I'm all tears over here. Thank you for this opportunity and for being a part of it and for using your platform to educate and to encourage people
to do good things for themselves and others. It's a blessing for all of us.
We're so glad all of you joined us today for this wonderful conversation. I know you could do anything in the world with your time, but you chose to give it to us. And we thank you for that gift of your time. We thank you, all of you who make this show possible. We have a miracle just about every month to stay on the air, and donors and sponsors and friends and this network. We are so very thankful for all of you. I hope someone has told all of you today, but you know what? We sure do love you. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we all get together again and have more conversations with Dawn Karima. See ya.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.